Praise the Lord for that song tonight. If you're here tonight and you are redeemed, we have reason to say hallelujah. And praise the Lord for the cross. Praise the Lord for the privilege to be here together tonight. We're going to be in the book of Psalms, the 147th Psalm. If you turn there in your Bibles, Psalm 147. Tonight, we'll be talking about praise, what praise does. Very aware that I have preached on praise several times in the somewhat near past, and it's not something I'm trying to do. It's actually something I tried to avoid, and but the Lord was not letting me get away from this. I don't know if it's for me personally, for us as a whole together tonight. I'm looking forward to getting in it together. I struggle with it because I preached a series on worship in the summer. Pastor had a few of his staff men preach in the summertime. I preached on worship and praise, and a couple of these things are overlapping a little bit, and I really didn't want to do that, but God just kept telling me this is what he wanted us to be at tonight. So I'm looking forward to it. Psalm 147. Praise is something that we talk a lot about, but it's something that we really don't do enough. I was telling the choir just a little bit ago, I was reading on it this week, and there was a preacher that was talking about the subject, and he was approaching the subject of the thought of not taking the Lord's name in vain. And he talked about how we teach our children those things, not to do that. That we need to respect the name of our God, that we don't need to take his name in vain, we don't need to curse his name, we don't need to take his name in vain. And we have a lot of emphasis on that, as we should. It's a command that he's given us not to do that. And he spoke about that taking the Lord's name in vain, it degrades the name of God. The opposite of something that would be degrading is something that is praising. So we know we aren't supposed to take the Lord's name in vain, but he said he had a question in that paragraph I was reading. He said, we don't take his name in vain, but how often do we take it in praise? And as I read that, it convicted my heart that I don't praise my God enough as I should. I want to. And I try, and I think about him often, but when it comes down to it, it's still never enough. And I want to praise him more. And I just want us to be able to look at this together tonight. Psalm 147, if you would stand for the reading of the Word of God. Psalm 147. We're going to begin there in verse 1. It says, praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is comely. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathered together the outcast of Israel. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. Great is the Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. The Lord lifteth up the meek. He casteth the wicked down to the ground. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise upon the harp unto our God. Who covereth the heaven with the clouds. Who prepareth rain for the earth. Who maketh grass to grow upon the mountains. He giveth to the beast his food, and to the young ravens which cry. He delighteth not in the strength of the horse. He taketh not pleasure in the legs of man. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, in those that hope in his mercy. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise thy God, O Zion. Let's pray, Lord. I love you. God, thank you for your word. God, thank you for who you are, Lord, what you've done for us, the privilege it is just to be in church tonight. God, I pray that as we're here, God, we're ready to receive whatever it is you have for us to receive. I pray, God, if there's something in our heart, Lord, that's between us and you, God, that we would settle that right now, take care of that. God, I pray that we'd be able to remove all the distractions, all the things that are going on last week or this coming week. And God, we'd just be able to focus for a few moments on your word and what you have for us from it. Lord, be with me as I preach. God, I want to deliver the message that you have for us tonight. And God, I know I cannot do that without you. God, I pray that you'd use me as your vessel tonight to clearly get your message across. We love you and thank you and ask all these things in your name. Amen. There was this little old lady that was a Christian, and she was one that loved to praise God. In Georgia, there was when we were down there for a little while, and I was there for the first part of my life, and people are a little more outgoing when it comes to praise down south. And this was obviously one of those types of people, one of those sections of the country. And there was this woman that every morning she would wake up and she'd walk out onto her porch and she would stand there at the edge of the porch and say, praise the Lord. And she would yell that every morning. That's how she started her day. Every morning, whether it was raining or whether it was clear skies, snowing, whatever it was, she would raise her hands and praise God and to start her day. Well, sometime there was this man that moved in next door, and she was excited when she heard he was moving in, but then she found out he was an atheist. And every morning she continued to do her routine, and she would go out there and she would stand at the edge of her step and praise the Lord, and she would yell that out. And that man would get over on his porch and he would go, "There is no Lord." So she continued to do that day after day, praise the Lord, and he would stand there arguing with her, "There is no Lord." After a few weeks of him trying to argue with her and saying there was no God, she was out there one morning and she said, "Praise the Lord." And after she cried that out, she said, "Oh Lord, I have no food. I am starving. Please provide for me, oh Lord." And then she continued to praise his name. The next morning, she stepped onto her porch and there was two huge bags of groceries sitting right by her front door. And she stood at the edge of her porch and she said, "Praise the Lord, he has provided groceries for me." And that atheist jumped out of the hedges and shouted, "Ha, there is no Lord. I bought those groceries." That little lady threw her arms in the air and shouted, "Praise the Lord. He has provided me with the groceries and he made the devil pay for them." Her praise brought results. Her praise brought results. You know, we can look throughout the Word of God and we can find evidence of praise attracting the presence of God and beginning the showing of the power of God in many different times throughout the Word of God. We can find evidence of that. One in particular that we can find over and over again is the children of Israel. When we look at the children of Israel, we look at the journey that they had there in the wilderness, we see them praising God, and as they're praising God, what would happen? He would deliver them through certain things. He would provide food for them. He would do all these things as they would praise him, but then we know they would get bored or they would get hungry, they would get thirsty, and they would begin to murmur and complain, and then they'd be defeated. Then they'd realize, oh, we need to be praising our God again. They would praise him, and they would lift him up. They would say they depend on him, and he would provide, and then they just continued in this cycle. But when they praised, that brought results. Praise attracts God's presence. We can look in the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 7. We're not going to for time's sake, but we find King Solomon dedicating the temple of God there, and he offered sacrifices, and he praised God. We can look there in that passage, and when he praised God, God answered by sending fire from heaven there at that time. Then the glory of God was shown there and came down. Praise attracts God's presence. David said in the 22nd Psalm, "But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel." Thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. That word inhabitest there is talking about a thought where he dwells where praise is celebrated. He dwells in the midst of praise. He makes himself known in those moments. You know, the goal of our services here is to praise God. We have the music service, and as the music pastor here at the church, underneath the leadership of pastor, I'm responsible to help lead that, the congregational singing and the songs that the choir sings and a lot of the specials. And our goal with every one of those is to praise the name of God, to point our praise to him, for everything to be sung unto him, for him, to praise his name. That is the main point. With that, it becomes an encouragement. It becomes a blessing to others. But the main goal, the main focus, is to worship and praise our God as he has called us to worship and praise his name. Amen. If you want the presence of God in your life, you must live a life of praise. We can praise him through prayer, through our Bible reading, through a song, through testimony, through the things that we do. There are many different ways that we can praise him. We find some descriptions of God and what he's done, but it's also these things that we find here in this passage are also things that come with praise. What does praise do? The first thing we find here is that praise reverences God. Very simply, "Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God." It is good to lift up his name. It is good to show reverence to God. Revelation chapter 4, verse 11 says, "For thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." We know the Word of God tells us that God created everything. You know, that God created this world that we live in. God created everything that is living, every object here on this earth. And he created these things to be one great big chorus of praise for him. Just a couple chapters before our text there in Psalm 145, you look there in verse 10, He says, all thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. All thy works shall praise thee. The angels should praise God. The humans here on this earth should praise God. The animals that God has created, they can't audibly speak. They don't have a spirit, but their existence, their activity is praising God. Even the inanimate objects of this earth praise him. The beauty that he's created, all these things lift up our God, lift up the Creator as he has said they would. It's our duty to praise. I was reading a little bit about John Bunyan. He spent 13 years in the Bedford jail for preaching the gospel. And during his imprisonment, he carved a flute out of the leg of a stool that was in his cell. And with that flute, they said he played songs of praise and worship to God. Think about all the things he could have done in that moment, but he wanted to give time to something like that, and he wanted to still praise his God in the best way that he could. Instead of focusing on his grief, instead of focusing on where he was at that moment, he focused on God. He knew what he was created to do. We are created for his glory. We are created to praise him, and no matter where he was or what he was doing, he was going to praise his Savior, praise, reverence his God. There may be someone here tonight, you say, Brother Buddy, I do want to praise God, and I praise him on occasion. I praise him, you know, at church and different times, but there's a lot of times where I don't feel like I have a whole lot of reason to praise him. Maybe your health is fine, or maybe your health has been bad for a long time, or maybe you can't think of anything special that has happened, or you're struggling with some things that you have been dealing with, and you maybe think that, you know, God really hasn't done a whole lot for me to praise him for. But there's one thing that I could point back to 2,000 years ago that we could all relate to and be thankful for. God created us for his glory. We sinned against him. As we talked about this morning, we had that individual soul liberty. We make a choice whether or not we're going to live for him. And so many times we fail him, but he still, knowing that, paid the debt that we could never pay. You may be in here tonight, and maybe you didn't have a paralysis that needed to be healed. Maybe you're born with good eyesight. He didn't heal you from being blind, or there was no sickness that you've been healed for. Maybe your ears have always worked, but you had a soul that needed to be saved. If that's the only reason we have tonight, we can still praise him with every breath we breathe. Praise reverences God. Another thing that praise does is it strengthens. It strengthens. And the first thing that it strengthens the weak. Look there in verse 2. The Lord hath built up Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcast of Israel. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. It says he gathereth together the outcast. He healeth the broken in heart. He has done those things. You know, in our life, we're going to be tired. In serving God, there are going to be many different times in our life where we may be weary in well-doing. And as the Word of God has mentioned, you may find yourself in a position like that. You may be overwhelmed with the things of this life. You may be going through some trials, and you may be going through all these different things. And as these pile up and as these burdens are there, you may get to a place where you just feel weak and you feel like you're unable to do anything for God, and you feel like you may not have that joy that you wish you had. You have all these things. Christians can go through depression. Christians can be stuck in a state of discontentment. Christians can get in a place where they're in a rut mentally, and they're trying to overcome these things. And we can get in a place where we are weak, and we cannot see a way out. So many emotions, so many different feelings, so many burdens, but our God can help that. He lightens the load. Watch night service, I was able to share the thought about casting our burdens upon him. And my wife has brought it up to me. I almost killed our son last Sunday night. But the example there, those burdens that we tend to carry in life can weigh us down and can cause us to suffer and can delay us from doing things that God wants us to do. But he wants us to cast those burdens upon him. The Bible says in Exodus that he said, I am the Lord that healeth thee. We have a healing God. He heals us with his touch, with his word, with his comfort and grace and forgiveness, salvation. He is a healing God. This is something I really haven't talked about much, but about halfway into our internship, some people may remember this time. There was a time where We went and looked at another possible position at a church there on the East Coast. And I was at a place where I wanted more. I felt like I was at a place where I needed to prove myself or do more for God or have more opportunities to serve Him. And I felt I had the right motivation in that. And I had some zeal there and tried to make this thing happen. And one thing I did do that I praise the Lord for, I said, I will not go unless I have the blessing of pastor. I felt things were great. I went there and I loved it, and I told Hallie we needed to go there, and I come back excited, and I find out that pastor didn't feel it was time for me to go yet. He said I wasn't ready. And I remember that time, I was kind of angry, and I was very confused on why I would feel like I needed to go do this, and why it was an opportunity I felt like God would want me to have, but for some reason it didn't happen. And I felt, I began to be very discontent, and that discontentment and anger began to grow a little more, and I fell into this very depressed time of my life. My health wasn't very good at the time, and I would come home, and I was somewhat of a zombie at the house. I'd just sit there, and I didn't have much to say. I kind of would zone out a lot of times. I had this thing that I really wanted, and I was so discontent with what I was going through. I was miserable. I was still serving the Lord at the church, and He was able to still use us in different ways at the junior high and everything that we were doing, but I wasn't at all where I needed to be for God, and I really didn't know how to fix it unless I was to leave. I don't remember exactly what it was, but I remember one day where the Lord basically told me to get over it and be thankful for where I was. So with that turn of heart, I began to praise Him again. I began to be thankful for where I was, and I began to be thankful for the opportunities and to praise Him with and the things that I was able to do and in the songs that we were singing here at the church and the way we were able to serve and praising Him for all the things He had helped us with, blessed us with, and I had a change of heart. And I remember as soon as I began to praise, I was able to overcome that rut. The praise came and those feelings went away. So many feelings and different things can get a hold of us and bring a burden on us. And we allow those things to control us, but praise is a great medicine for those things. Happiness in God, no matter what the circumstances, knowing that our God is greater than the enemy, knowing that, as it says here, He can rebuild Jerusalem, He can heal the heart, He can bind the wounds, knowing that the wounds you may have gotten from different experiences of life can be healed by the Almighty God. You can praise Him. Commentator said, when we become God-centered instead of self-centered, God becomes the center of our being. We can't praise and pout at the same time. Praise brings you into His presence. As the Bible says in Psalm chapter 16, in His presence there is fullness of joy. It's fullness of joy. Praise strengthens the weak, and praise also strengthens our faith. Sometimes our faith will feel weak. Praise will strengthen it. It's that vitamin shot. It's the five-hour energy to get your faith going. Praise will strengthen your faith. Look there in verse 4 of our text. It says, He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. We have a God in all of His power and all of His capabilities has the stars numbered. He knows the number of hairs on our head. Some of us are easier to count than others. You think of all the billions of stars and think that He has a name for each and every one of those. Continue in our text, it says, great is the Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. Therefore, the Lord lifteth up the meek. Great is the Lord and of great power. He lifteth up the meek. When we begin to praise God, as we praise Him, we remember how great He is. As we praise Him for who He is, we think of who He is. We think of His attributes. We think of the things that He has done in creating this world and all the things before our existence. And then think of what He's done for us in our own life. And we begin to think of all that He's done and to think of all that He is capable of. And then we remember that that same God that has all those capabilities, that has all that power, that has all that wisdom, loves us. And He knows us. And as we begin to praise him for those things and truly remember and recognize who he is, we will find our faith in him growing stronger. As we remind ourselves of his capabilities and what he has done and will do, our faith will become stronger. As we praise God and we can sing songs about how much he loves us, how strong his grace is, and how his blood cleanses us from all sins, we can come to a place in our life where we may remember the past and remember the things that we've done and think, there's no way that God could use me, there's no way that God could save me, but we remember his love and his grace as we praise him, and it brings us to have faith to press on for him. As you're praising him for what he's done in your life, thinking of all of the blessings that you may have, in the midst of that praise, when a trial comes into your life, it's a lot easier to trust him in those times. As you remember his infinite power in creating this world and numbering the stars, you don't have to worry about the results of that test you may have just gotten or the treatments that you're in the midst of, because he is a God in control. Praise strengthens our faith. If you want faith, if you want stronger faith, praise God more. Strengthens our weakness, strengthens our faith, strengthens our thankfulness to God, our thankfulness in life. Look there in verse 7. It says, sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving, sing praise upon the harp unto our God, who covereth the heaven with the clouds, who prepareth rain for the earth, who maketh grass to grow upon the mountains. He does all those things for us. He giveth to the beast his food and to the young ravens which cry. And he does so much more for us than he even does for that. You know, we think about all the silly things that we complain about and that we complain about in America. We were at Cracker Barrel just a few days ago, and my wife could probably testify that I was not very happy with the service we were receiving. It took me about 30 minutes to get my first refill, and I'm one of those, I'll get kind of antsy, I'll huff and puff, I'll see the waitress across the room thinking she should see this. And I'm complaining there to my wife, and as I was talking like that and had that mentality, I kind of began to chuckle inside, thinking it could get a lot worse than this. Think about the things that we complain about, the things that we murmur about. We need to be thankful. And praise will strengthen our thanks. You know, sometimes even in our prayers, if we're not careful, we can find ourselves almost complaining to God about our problems or our situation. You know, God knows our hearts. He cares about the things that concern us, but through praise, when we praise him, we are focused on him, not allowing too much attention to be on the things that we may be dealing with or the things that we may find horrible or struggling with. And we're reminded of what he's already done in our life, and we're reminded that he knows us and is capable of taking care of those burdens that we may be facing. And we can be more thankful in those times. You know, David wrote in Psalm 103, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thy iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies." When we begin to develop a habit of a life of praise, we are much more aware of the blessings that we have in life, and with that we will be more thankful in our life. He strengthens us. Praise also opposes the enemy. It opposes the enemy. If you look at verse 10, it says, "He delighteth not in the strength of the horse. He taketh not pleasure in the legs of man. The Lord taketh pleasure in those that fear him, and those that hope in his mercy." And the chapter continues on there. He's talking about the legs of man and the strength of a horse. When he's speaking there about delighting not in the strength of the horse or the strength of the legs of a man, when you're talking about the legs of a man, he's talking about a man's strength to run and fight, to take care of himself. The strength of the horse is talking about the armament a man may have, what you can do with a horse, what you can do, what you can accomplish in battle, in a fight, or in life with that. And he's saying that God is not taking pleasure in those things. He's not finding glory in those things. He's not finding pleasure out of those things. But what he does find glory in is a man that fears him, a man that reverences him, a man that looks to him. And a life of praise is one that does that. You know, it's not our strength that scares away the devil. It's God. Our strength doesn't matter. God is looking for us to reverence him and to fear him, to praise his name. You know, an awesome story in the Word of God, if we all turn there, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Story of Jehoshaphat. He's faced with an army three times the size of his own, and he sought counsel from the Lord, and God told him to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And God was telling him, basically, he said, Jehoshaphat, don't move until I tell you to move. Don't do a thing until I tell you to do it. I know they look big. I know they're three times your size. I know they are difficult for you to defeat on your own, but don't do anything until you have my lead, until it's time to fight. My favorite thing about this passage is that Jehoshaphat, when he was lining up his army, in the very front lines, he did not bring the wise people of battle. He didn't bring the leaders of battle. He didn't bring his best soldiers, his strongest warriors. He didn't do a line of shields. You know, he put basically the choir out there. The very front line, they were singers. And as he had them there, we can look here in verse 22 of 2 Chronicles chapter 20. It says, and when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants, everyone helped to destroy another. They sang, they shouted, and they praised God. And God showed up and defeated the enemy. Jehoshaphat and his army never fired a shot, never pulled their sword out from its sheath, never released an arrow from the bow. They sang and praised God, and the enemy was defeated. Why did that happen? Why does the enemy repel when we praise God? It's because God comes nearer when we praise. Psalm 22, verse 3, that verse that we looked at just a few moments ago, God inhabits the praise of his people. The devil's allergic to praise. That verse in James, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil and he will flee from you. It's not just resisting the devil that causes him to flee, it is us submitting to God. He cannot operate, the devil cannot function in an attitude, in a place of praise. And we cannot praise God unless we're submitted to God. You want to defeat the enemy, praise him. You know, the psalmist wrote, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. In the book of Joshua, we find the Israelites confronted by the wall of Jericho. And they saw a wall that they could not penetrate on their own. They saw a strong army that they could not defeat without some help. And it was a wall they could not get through. And God told them to move around the wall once a day for 6 days. And on the seventh day, they moved around seven times, and on the seventh time, they shouted praise, and the wall came down. Praise helped defeat the enemy. Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas were thrown in the jail, and they waited until midnight and sang their praises to God. And as those things were heard, the Bible says an earthquake came, and the chains were loose, and they were freed. Praise defeated the enemy. Praise opposes the enemy. Maybe here and you're struggling with different things at work. Maybe there's some temptations that are in your life, some things that you find a hard time getting through, or maybe you find it hard having the right attitude in the workforce or at home, or maybe you find yourself in a state of depression. You feel like you're being attacked over and over again, having a hard time parenting, having a hard time at the home trying to have it as one that is pleasing God, and you feel like you're just being attacked and attacked and attacked. When you are in a place like that, praise God. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Lift him up. Praise opposes the enemy. Very quickly, the last thing tonight, I'm going to go back to the first verse of our text there in Psalm 147. Psalm 147. Verse 1 says, praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God. For it is pleasant, and praise is comely. Spurgeon wrote on this thought. He said, it is good because it is right. Good because it is acceptable with God, beneficial to ourselves and stimulating to our fellows. It says praise is good. It's doing something that God wants us to do. It is good to Him. It is good for us to do. And if the Bible says something is good, I think it's a good thing for us to do. It says it's pleasant. It is pleasant to God. He wants to receive it. Our praise pleases Him. And then it says praise is comely. That word comely there literally means to be at home with. And that word in the Bible times is often used in association with how a guest would feel in a Jewish home. And if their time was enjoyable, they would say they had a comely time. In other words, praise should be something that a Christian finds very comfortable. Praise should not make us uncomfortable. Someone else testifying of something God has done in their life should not make you uncomfortable. Finding it fit for you to praise God should not make you uncomfortable. You should feel right at home praising God. It's due unto Him. It's reasonable. The redeemed singing the song of redemption to the one who redeemed them. Praise needs to be a part of every Christian life, and it is part of the victorious Christian life. There's this little boy named Michael Emmanuel. It was his 6th birthday, and family and friends gathered together at the Chuck E. Cheese in Boca Raton, Florida. This is a true story. This party was going very well. There was a lot of people there. Kids were playing. The parents were talking to one another, having some good fellowship. And then the party ended, and that's when the trouble began. All of the children and the adults climbed into 3 different vehicles and headed home. And everyone made it home except for the birthday boy, Michael. The 6-year-old returned to the play area when his parents were leaving and everyone else left. He was left behind, and employees found Michael as they were closing around 10 o'clock, and they called the police with him. Michael's mom had assumed that he went with his grandma, and his grandma assumed that he went with his mom, and his mom did not realize that he was even missing until the next morning. Michael and his parents discovered that night that it was possible to have a celebration and forget the guest of honor. It's very true for us as well. If we're not careful, we can find ourselves in a celebration, even in a day of church, and get so busy with all these different things we're looking to do, all these different ministries that we may be part of, and in the celebration somehow forget the guest of honor. We live our life for the Lord. You may do your devotions every day. You may pray to God every day. You may have good standards there at the home and try to raise your children right, and somehow in the midst of all that still forget the guest of honor. A life of praise is one of blessings and one filled with His presence, with His help. And may we never get so busy in our life that we overlook that thought. If you're here tonight and you're in a place where you feel like praise has been missing and praise is non-existent, you're missing out on power. You're missing out on victories in your life. You're missing out on peace. You're missing out on the presence of God in your life. I love the song the choir sang this morning, "Oh, Praise the Name." And in that chorus, it says, "For endless days we will sing your praise, O Lord our God." One day when we get to heaven, every saved person is going to be lifting His name up. We're going to be praising Him. We're going to be singing unto Him, giving Him glory as much as we can. But it's sad to say that so many Christians wait until they get to heaven to really praise God. And we can be doing it right now. Revelation 4 again, it says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." We are created to praise Him. But have we forgotten the guest of honor? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Simple thought tonight. How are we praising God? How is our praise? Maybe you're here tonight and you feel defeated. Maybe you're here tonight and you're struggling in different things of your life, and yet you have been battling some things. Praise can fix it. Praising your God, remembering who He is, having your faith strengthened. That praise that can defeat the enemy, that praise that just pleases God, knowing you're doing what He wants you to do. Are you doing that tonight? Lord, we love you, and Lord, we ask that you bless this invitation in your name.